Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she grew up in that house and never believed in the paranormal until she reached the top of the stairs one night and saw someone already standing there. The figure didn't vanish or react. So what exactly did she walk into?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, it is. And yes, 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call and share your real ghost stories with us, or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss any of our episodes. It's Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's edition of the program. What's going on?
Carol's mic stand is not working. She has no Kleenex box in front of her. So nice round of applause for Carol with you, ladies and gentlemen. Very nice.
I did it myself, and, which was a little intimidating to me. Mm-hmm. I was telling Todd, Tony, you didn't hear this, but the whole mic apparatus that holds the microphone.
Yeah.
That was tricky.
The shock mount. She had some problems with the shock mount.
What it's called.
You got to, because you got like the rubber bands. Is that?
Yeah, it has these rubber bands, and you have to hook them up exactly the right way. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I have two mics, so I was able to compare. It took me about 20 minutes before I was able to figure it out, because I'm like, what is this?
And then when you're done, you're like, well, of course that's how it goes.
No, when I was done, I was like, yeah.
Mine was the opposite, because I was just as confused, and I looked at it at the end. I'm like, oh well, what the hell was I thinking? Because it looks like it because it's for you. It's looking like, oh god, like it does look like a project. But then it's like, oh okay, when it kind of makes symmetrical sense
once
it goes.
You actually study it.
Yeah.
Because thank God I had the extra mic, because seriously, I am not smart enough to figure it out without having something else to look at. I'm not that smart.
Well, thank goodness there is the internets now, and you can use the Yahoo, and it will take you to a place where you can look at a tutorial picture and learn exactly how to do it. I don't know why I'm talking in a Southern accent, and we're back in 1997. But
yeah. I live, like, everything is tutorials.
In fact,
I bought a new office chair, and I only bought that particular one because I found a good tutorial.
Yeah.
Carol's checking out Ask Jeeves. That's how far back she goes.
It's still around.
And my little paperclip is like, what do you want to do?
Oh, yeah. The little paperclip. Oh,
don't forget the little post-it that would pop up every now and then, too. That,
yeah.
It's friend. Windows 95.
Back when Windows was reliable. I mean, did that thing ever crash back in the day? Never. It just didn't.
You think? I mean, I remember a couple 2-3 in the morning events of running back to the radio station because it crashed.
Wasn't that more the software that we were using at the time?
Yeah, probably a mix of both. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, there was times where it was like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it kind of depends. I think there were so many things dependent on those machines working right. If your house was haunted if you're, you know, had enough RAM basically to do anything. But I don't know. I remember them crashing a lot back then.
Where we worked, it crashed all the time.
I don't have good. I don't know.
Now it's crazy because most radio stations, if that happens, they got nobody to call.
You better
find a tutorial, a video online.
Hopefully the paperclip is banging on the screen to give you some details.
Exactly. When I was picking up Harper from school today, there was a radio station that was their imaging, their stuff between the songs was talking about how only real people here. And it's all automated. Like none of like nobody is there.
Were there real people?
I mean, I guess like the voice trackers are real. So I guess that's the new standard is like if it's actually human.
It is. And I think if I'm not mistaken, it's an iHeart radio station because I think that is their big campaign now. There's no AI. It's all real people. Although it's just one guy in one city doing 50 radio stations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your podcast platform says that too. In front of every podcast, it says, I heart some real human. It says that.
Yeah, they can. I mean, iHeart will accept any podcast that gets submitted to them. And there's a gazillion AI podcasts on iHeart. There just are. And then I didn't say anything. I mean, I'm okay with it. I mean, it is what it is. Sure. There's going to be AI podcasts. And I mean, we're talking off the air about like music and AI music earlier and how kind of spooky that has becoming and just how good some of it can become. You know, if you want to express your voice and your opinion in a certain way and you just don't have the talents to do so, I mean, but AI can give you that ability to speak your mind in a certain way and you know how to navigate it. Good for you. I mean, like, okay, if that helps you communicate, it's like another way of communicating, honestly. And it actually makes everybody up their fucking game a bit. And the ones that can actually do it as a human being and being alive, well, there's not a lot of them, but, there's going to be a lot more AI to compete with. But I think at the same point, it also does then shine a lot more spotlight on good communication versus shitty communication, because everything can sound pretty good now. So if you're going to compete with AI, you got to be just as good as AI. And not a lot of people are.
Yeah.
So weird way of looking at it, but I think that's kind of how it's going to pan out before it takes over the world and, you know, kills does us, the nuclear kills codes and kills us all. You know, it's like time to reset. So,
well, what are we? We're 7 minutes into the first episode this week, and already my thought process on the world is going right down the dumps, just like always with Tony. He always gets me in that mood where, why go on in life?
That's me. I'm here to pick you up and make you feel good through your work day with the no repeat doomsday guarantee. New ways to die every week, all the time. Only on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Wow, he actually walked up right to the end. I mean, that's true professionalism right there.
There you go. See, I can fucking compete with the computers. Computers ain't got nothing on me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost story with us, let's go to our letter today. It starts out, she had never been interested in anything paranormal. She didn't watch ghost hunting shows. She didn't trade stories about haunted houses. If someone described a strange experience, she was usually the first to suggest exhaustion or stress. She'd lived in the same house most of her life and nothing about it had ever felt unusual. At 23, she was back home temporarily while saving money. It wasn't where she imagined she'd be a year and a half after college, but it was practical. The house was familiar in a way few places ever are. She knew how the stairs sounded in the winter. She knew which cabinet doors didn't quite close. The upstairs bathroom had a small nightlight that had been plugged in for years. That Saturday night, she got home just after 2 in the morning. She had driven about 40 minutes from a former roommate's apartment. The roads were empty, the neighborhood quiet when she pulled into the driveway. The house was dark. That was normal. Her parents went to bed early. She grabbed her backpack and let herself inside. The moment she stepped through the front door, she felt it. It wasn't a noise or a shadow. It was a physical sensation, like walking into a room where someone else was already standing. Her chest tightened immediately. Her heart sped up in a way that felt disproportionate to the moment. She paused in the darkness, listening. Nothing moved. Nothing shifted. She reached for the hallway light and turned it on. The staircase came into view exactly as it always did. Framed family photos lined the wall. The runner rug stretched up the center of the steps. Everything was in place. The feeling eased slightly, but it didn't disappear. She told herself she was tired. It had been a long day. Driving late always left her slightly on edge. She switched off the hallway light and turned on the staircase light instead. The warm glow stretched upward and she climbed slowly. At the top of the stairs was her bedroom. If she faced her door, the bathroom sat directly to the left. Behind her, down the longer hallway, was her parents' room. She reached the top and flipped off the staircase light. The upstairs dimmed again. Only the faint glow from the bathroom nightstand remained. She took a step towards her bedroom door and glanced left without thinking. Someone was standing in the bathroom. The thought registered as a fact before it registered as impossible. A young woman stood near the back wall, close to where the night light cast its small circle of illumination. She was barefoot. She wore a plain dress that fell below her knees, the fabric hanging loosely. Dark hair framed her face, partially obscuring it. Her head was angled slightly downward. There was nothing exaggerating about the image, nothing distorted or theatrical. It looked ordinary in a way that made her harder to dismiss. Her first instinct was that someone had broken into the house. Her second instinct was confusion. The figure wasn't braced to run. It wasn't startled. It wasn't reacting to her presence. It was simply there. Her body locked in place for a second. Her mind tried to rearrange what she was seeing into something explainable. A shadow from the sink, a hanging towel, her eyes adjusting to the dark. Then the figure shifted. It wasn't dramatic, just a subtle adjustment, as if the woman had shifted her weight from one foot to the other. That small movement ended any chance of rationalizing it away. Her shoulder hit the hallway wall as it stepped backward. Her breath caught painfully in her throat. The air felt thick. She blinked hard. The figure remained. She didn't wait to see more. She turned and went straight into her bedroom, closing and locking the door behind her. Her hands shook enough that she had to steady them against the knob before she could turn it fully. Inside her room, she turned on the lamp and stood there, trying to regulate her breathing. The house was silent. No footsteps outside the door. No sound from the bathroom. No door closing. Nothing. She replayed the image over and over in her mind. Bare feet, the hem of the dress, dark hair, the slight shift. It hadn't been transparent. It hadn't flickered. It had looked solid. She pushed the chair under the doorknob, not because she believed something would try to enter, but because the act of doing something practical felt grounding. She left the lamp on and stayed awake most of the night. Every small noise the house made, the settling of wood, the faint hum of the refrigerator downstairs, felt amplified. Several times she nearly convinced herself it had been exhaustion, a trick of low light and a tired brain. But each time she crossed her eyes, the image returned exactly the same. Closed her eyes, not crossed her eyes. That would be more interesting. Morning light made the hallway look harmless. The bathroom was empty. The tile gleamed. Nothing was out of place. She debated keeping it to herself. Saying it out loud would make it real in a different way, but over coffee, she mentioned it. She described coming home late, feeling uneasy, and seeing what she believed was a woman standing in the upstairs bathroom. She was careful with her words. She framed it as something she was probably misinterpreting. Her parents listened. They didn't laugh. They didn't dismiss her outright. Instead, there was a brief pause, a look exchanged between them that felt more significant than any reaction would have. Eventually, her father admitted that years earlier he had experienced something similar. One night, he thought he saw someone standing in the bathroom. When he got up in the dark, he had turned on the light and found nothing there. He decided at the time that it was a trick of a shadow and fatigue, and he never mentioned it again. Her mother added only that the upstairs hallway had always felt slightly uncomfortable to her at night. They didn't build a theory around it. They didn't suggest history or meaning. They didn't dramatize it, but they also didn't dismiss it. That unsettled her more than anything. Over the next 2 weeks, nothing else happened. There were no additional sightings, no unexplained noises, no doors opening or closing, but the house felt altered. She avoided the upstairs bathroom after dark. If she had to pass it, She turned on every light first. She began sleeping in her younger brother's room with the lamp on, telling herself it was temporary. She found reasons to stay out later in the evenings. She kept revisiting possible explanations, fatigue, stress, light distortion. But none of those explanations accounted for the clarity of what she had seen. It had not been vague. It had not been a flicker at the edge of her vision. It had occupied space. It moved out. At the end of the month, as planned, her new apartment felt normal from the first night. The unease did not follow her. She slept in darkness again without incident. Still, years later, she could not walk into a dark bathroom without turning on the light first. Not because she believed something would be there, but because once, in a house she knew better than anyone else, something stood in a place that should have been empty. And for a few quiet seconds, it felt like it had every right to be there. Ta-da!
Creepy.
There you go.
I like the comment where she says it wasn't like something in a peripheral vision. You know, like sometimes you'll see that dark thing or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And as I get older, my eyes get worse. So there's more of those little floaty things around. So you always think it's kind of that. But when you see something and it's right there in front of you, it's kind of mind blowing. Like, I've only ever seen a shadow figure once in my entire life, and it was pretty epic at that. And it was very hard to believe that I was seeing what I know I saw.
How would you I'm going to ask, because I'm curious about how that appeared. Okay, shadow person. So is this literally like me if I became translucent? And I was just a dark shadow, like, but I'm in my 3D form here. Or is it like against a wall, like a shadow or something? Is it like in the ether, or is it a shadow person? Is that on a surface that you're seeing it?
I wouldn't say that it was three dimensional, because I'm not sure that I saw any dimension to it, but it was. I saw it between a location and the wall. So I knew it wasn't on the wall.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't like light shining onto something that was then portraying it. It wasn't somebody doing like shadow puppets with their hands or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it was away from the wall, seemed very flat to me. I didn't see a lot of dimension to it, but it was completely black. Like completely dark. There was
Could you see through it at all?
No, not at all.
Okay. So it was a solid.
It was solid. And there were actually lights on the other side of it that it was blocking out. So,
okay.
It was the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Cause I just saw one time, and mine was different, in that I was in the bathroom getting ready. So I'm facing the mirror, the bathroom door's open. And I was living in the not haunted house with my friend John. And I swear John walked past the bathroom. So probably, you know, it was a little bathroom, little house, maybe 5-6 feet away from where I was standing. It was just like he walked past, like out of my bedroom and past the bathroom. And I was like, what the hell? But it was all peripheral. But I definitely saw it, and I walked out because then he would have walked into the living room, and I walked out there like, what the hell? I thought you went to work, and he was not there, but it was dark. It was like he was all in black. I just remember it was very dark. That's the only thing, you know, I don't remember like seeing his head because I wasn't looking at him. It was just all happening here.
Yeah. That's creepy.
It was super creepy.
Never seen. I take that. I don't know what I saw. We were out. I was in West Bend, Wisconsin.
Oh my goodness. What?
We went on a ghost walk with the guy that wrote the Goatman book. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know Goatman book. Can't think of the guy's name.
Can't think of his name off the top of my head because this was like a decade ago. I was almost there at the top of my tongue. He was on the show way back, and he's in West Bend, and I was visiting. I was in town because where I grew up is in our hometown's not far from there, and he was going to give us a kind of a walk around. So we met down by the courthouse, and there's it's a big old building, you know, kind of like a dome type. I wouldn't say dome, but like, you know, castle like almost up on the top of one of the buildings. And there's like some windows surrounding one of the, I guess, the steeple of the building, if you will. And it's like 9 at night. It's late. Like the building is closed. There's nobody going in, nobody going out. And as we're waiting, what looked like a shadow figure up there of a person like moving around in that area where the, cause there was light that was like coming out of these windows of this steeple. I don't know what the hell's behind it. But it looked kind of, you know, fogged, but light was coming out. But you could clearly see like some movement of somebody up there. And then it just kind of went away. It was weird. I didn't know what it was. I mean, I guess it could have been somebody up there, but I asked him about it, and he said other people had seen things, similar things in that building at night. It's a weird structural area of the building. You'd have to be up on a ladder of some sort to get up into that place. It's not like there's a secret office there or something. But I don't know. It was a weird, I guess that'd be the closest thing I could say, where it was a blacked out type figure, if that makes sense.
Was his name Nathan Couch or something
yes,
like that?
Yes. Yes. That is him. And he's been on, I think he's been like on Coast to Coast and all that. And I mean, the Goatman book he wrote a long time ago. I don't know if he has other stuff out now, but that was, I think it was a Grave Talks with him from way back. But yeah, interesting dude. And
I think I've got a picture of the courthouse to show here. Let me just see if I can pop it up, because it is a very interesting. Now it doesn't want to open up.
It's a very interesting little building. Downtown there.
Yeah. I used to live down that way, so I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not wanting to pull up now, so.
Yeah, it's a nice, quaint, little, pretty downtown, older, you know, just neat old buildings. It's kept up pretty well. It was a weird experience that day. Yes, okay, up there, top.
You
can't really see, because of the angle of the shot, where it was, but yes, up in that general, you can kind of get a better idea of it. And there was another building right off to the left of it as well, and that's where we were meeting. But we were pretty much kind of like right almost where that street lamp is, in that general area.
Gotcha. Wow,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
I love those old courthouses. They're so massive and important looking.
And so many communities have gotten rid of them, you know, and put up the old block, the cinder block ones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So when you see an old one like that, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. We have both here. We still have the old one and we have a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And they use them both.
I'm in Northwest Arkansas. We have like several cities on top of each other. Fayetteville has an older building. That is, if I remember, it's like, it's really, it's almost like house-like, if I remember right. That's how old it is. But then it's like built on to be much larger, but they kept the structure of the original, which is kind of cool. It's always neat to see those old buildings.
Yeah.
They're haunted as shit.
Oh yeah. I would imagine that most of them are.
The emotions that are emoted in those buildings. I mean, if you're in the courthouse, I mean, unless you're working there, you're there for a reason, and it's usually some sort of high strung reason why you're there.
Right.
It's like,
you would be very, it's kind of like working in a jail. I see why a jailer will haunt the jail. Mm-hmm. Because he's got a job to do, you know? And so the judge might still be there, the court clerk, you know, there are people mm-hmm. who still have jobs to do and they're going even though they're dead. Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, if you were convicted of something and, you know, they would just take you out and right from the tree, that's where you'd go. So that energy's there too.
That's true.
Yeah.
There are usually large trees around these old buildings.
Yes.
Yeah. I never really thought of that or connected those dots.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, on that fun note, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that stuff, check us out Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online right there and become a supporter to get access to all of that. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss any of our episodes. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.